Recorded. Please stand by for opening remarks.
Paul, take it away.
Oh, hey, thank you all for joining us tonight. I thought, freshly off this NXT TakeOver Phoenix, I thought it was an amazing show. I thought, once again, the locker room of NXT continues to take it to another level and just kind of deliver something more. They raise the bar every time they go out there. I was very proud of the show tonight and very proud of them. So with that, I'll open it up to you.
All right. We're going to take a couple in the room, and then we'll go to the phone. So first for the room, say your name and outlet, please.
Will Perot, ProWrestling.net.
Hey, Ben.
What are the chances of us seeing NXT women's tag titles in the future with them being introduced on the roster?
I mean, it's a possibility. I guess for me, say never say never. It's a funny thing, though. Like, everybody clamored for so long to get them on the main roster. We get them on the main roster 5 seconds later. They're saying, can we get more? which is great. I love that. I think you just want to make sure you have enough people to make a good division and to make it meaningful, right? So I think that could be something that, as it evolves over time, will definitely take place. Could take place.
Tim Fiorvanti from
ESPN.
Paul, could you speak in general to the strength of the tag team division in NXT that we saw both on the TakeOver special and in the episode of NXT that was taped this week?
Yeah, I think, the NXT has sort of strong divisions everywhere. I think the men's division, women's division is certainly has a very robust talent roster, let's just say. But the tag team division especially, I think you just have a bit more focus on it. I think you have a bit more talent that are focused on it and trying to drive that. It just is what it is. There's a lot of meaningful tag teams and a lot of guys that are really, really stepping up their game to be the best. And when you see tonight, I mean, man, War Raiders and Undisputed Era is just crazy good. It's shocking to me how the War Raiders, two just big, strong guys, but just can move and just agile and fast and just incredible. So, I think the strength of that, you saw earlier in the night, to air later, of the Street Profits and Forgotten Sons, it's deep and it's more and more. So I think that's good, and that's then good across the board. I think you'll see a resurgence in that on all levels. The things that drive the future, I think, happen here in some way. And as those trends begin to take place, sometimes change seems slow in the process, and then when you look back at it, it wasn't so slow, and I think that will take place. It's just it's happening now. That's my opinion.
All right, we're going to go to the phones for the next two questions.
And as a reminder, that is star one if you do have a question over the phone lines, and we will go to Mike Johnson, PW Insider.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, Mike.
Well, obviously a great show tonight, but I wanted to ask something about some behind-the-scenes stuff. Jeremy Borash tweeted earlier today, this is 1 year anniversary with the company. Some people he's very familiar with, Sanjay Dutt.
Don't say anything terrible. He's standing right here.
Of course he is. I'm sure there's a camera in hand. There's Sanjay Dutt. The miracles happen. Sanjay Dutt and Abyss, there's talk about them coming into the company. What are you expecting out of them? What sort of role can we expect from them behind the scenes? And are these some of the names that you were kind of hinting at on the last call about potentially filling up the staff for the NXT UK Performance Center?
I think it's – look, we're always on the lookout for talented people that can contribute to the product and to the WWE as a whole. It doesn't matter where they're from, right? The quality people that are talented, that have a passion for this and want it to go to the next level and succeed, I'm always looking forward to those people. So for me, Sanjay coming in here, Abyss coming in here, behind the scenes roles, we're going to see where that best fit is for them. I've heard of them. I know of them. So many people speak highly of them. and their jobs over the years, from a talent standpoint and other standpoints. So I'm looking forward to working with them and seeing where they best fit through all of this, as we all are. We'll determine, everybody here will determine where they fit, what they want to do, and how they can help contribute in the best way to the product going forward.
Do we have a start date for when they're starting with the company yet, or is it too soon to say?
I'm sure you will know the second they walk through the door.
that will happen. You're
yes,
probably right on that.
I want to ruin the surprise for you and the breaking news story.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate your consideration.
Just looking out for you.
I appreciate that.
Right,
have a good night, and thanks.
Thank you, man.
One more on the phone, and then we'll go back to the room. One question for Alec, please.
And we'll go to Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey, Dave. Hey, Dave, you were kind enough to ask me how I'm doing. I heard you fell off your bicycle or something like that. Didn't you have an accident or something?
Yeah, I sure did. I actually felt that I was jinxed. I was thinking of when I asked you, I was thinking, like, you know, I know that you've got the same bug I do when it comes to, like, lifting weights. And it was like, what is the worst thing that could happen? And it's like a torn pec and you can't lift for 6 months. It's not the worst thing, but... So I thought, you know, I was pretty concerned just seeing how you were doing. And then, you know, it's like I fell off. Yeah. So anyway.
How are you doing? Is you're doing all right?
I'm fine. You know, like you. I'm fine. It's just going to take a while. That's all. So.
Yeah.
But I mean, aside from the fact I can't type, which is like the worst thing, somebody from another company just goes like said something about, you know, the if you broke your leg, we wouldn't call you. But now that you got a broken finger and you can't type, this is a tragedy. So, you know, like that.
Job hazard.
I was just as far as like the order of the matches. What like what's kind of like your thought process when it comes to how tonight's show was laid out?
You know, that's one of the things when you look at it, you try to space things out. Right, you want a hot start, obviously. You want to start with something big. Clearly, as you look at the night, it's hard not to look at Gargano and Ricochet and think, geez, in some way, this could absolutely steal the night. But then again, so could some of these other matches. And then you don't want to be disrespectful to anything and move it into the, you know, title matches into position that they shouldn't be in or anything like that. So it really comes down to sometimes just, well, we'll try this. And you're kind of, it's a gut feel, and that's really all it is. It's a gut feel of how it's going to lay out. You know, I suppose in some way, just like anything else, like a concert, when is the right time to play the slow song and the fast song and the, you know, pick them up and take them down, and you want to sort of weigh that the overall show, the whole thing, and that's really what we try to do tonight. Sometimes it works. Sometimes you wish maybe afterwards you did it differently. I don't know, but I thought tonight worked well, and I thought the show delivered across the board some spectacular performances on all sides.
I mean, when you, like, lay out the women's championship and then the men's championship, I mean, is it kind of like – I mean, I know the rule of thumb is the men's championship goes last and everything like that, but, I mean, do you kind of, like, look at it like when you start and the paper is clean and you've got, okay, I got these five matches, do you – like lean towards that, or do you just kind of go, there's no rules, just whatever I think is going to be the right order is going to be it?
I think it's the right order is going to be it, you know.
Yeah.
I think there are certain things that, you know, it'd be tough to put the North American title on last in ahead of the NXT title, you know what I mean? But there are, you know, there are, and look, there's also considerations to take in place too, and I'll just give you an example of that is, would you, you know, Bianca Belair's coming in here with 2.5 years or so under her belt from walking in the door, stepping into the ring in the biggest crowd she's ever wrestled in front of. And, you know, all of that. And where you place her on the card is going to affect her, you know, and performance-wise and all of that. So you have to – there's a lot of things to take into consideration. It's what happens across the board. It happens here. It happens in, you know, on Raw, SmackDown, and, you know, across the board. That's the sort of the art of putting on these shows in some way.
Okay,
do the best you
much.
Can. Thank you, Dave.
All right, we'll go back to the room. Anyone have questions in the room? Thank you.
Andreas, Able Sport News. Once upon a time, there was a time where fans were, when guys dropped titles, they immediately wanted to see them go to the main roster. And I think after about the past year, it's kind of gone away. Are you satisfied with that direction that now fans aren't looking to immediately see guys on the main roster? They're happy with people staying in NXT?
Yeah, I'm very happy with that. Look, I'm thrilled when people see them go up and they're happy to see them go up. I'm thrilled when, you know, like you said, somebody drops a title or they feel like that's the end of the run, and then it's not, because it's anything that becomes predictable is not good, right? So if it's, oh, he dropped out, he's going up tomorrow or whatever, that's not a good thing. I think to have that where you don't know is a constant positive, and it's trying to stay ahead of that in some way and do the best you can with it. But, yeah, look, I'm thrilled that people are excited to see talent wherever they are, you know, whether that's Raw, SmackDown, here, anywhere. If they're happy to see them, that's a good thing.
Jefferson Lake, Sky Sports. I wanted to ask about Velveteen Dream, if I may. We saw him this morning at Access, two matches, small crowd, really sort of had the crowd in the palm of his hands at that event, I thought, this morning. Kind of the same thing tonight, really. Whenever he appeared, wasn't even in a match tonight. It feels like he's just got this real star quality about him. What more does he need to do, if anything, really?
Yeah, were you hanging out after?
Saw him come past.
No, but I mean, were you hanging out in a crowd after we went off the air and all the stuff that happened?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, the dude's a star, but you can only fit so many people into a card. I don't think, him not being on the show, Adam Cole wasn't on the show tonight,
no.
Like, you know, there's a lot of people, it only can fit so many people, and it's a funny thing, like, in our business, it's like, well, where was this person on the show, but then... If it was UFC, like, no, they're not all on every card. They don't all fight all the time, right? That's part of the, I think, the awesome aspect of this and the variety of it. And you're not seeing everybody every single time, and you're not doing all that stuff. He had star moments tonight, to me, in the show, just in the little bit of stuff he did. He walked out there and he sat in the crowd.
The arrival as well. When he came
yeah, in. The arrival. We actually had something else planned. It didn't work out. Somebody got sick. But, it's all little steps of being a star, right? And, you know, the one thing about Velveteen Dream is, I think that everybody fails to realize with him also is, he's been in the business for a minute, how far he is and how big of a star and how he gets this is just, it's awesome. I think you want to make sure he takes the right steps to get there in the right manner so that it all works in the best way possible and doesn't become too much too soon, in the wrong way, where you put him in a position where he might not be ready for it or could fail. I don't see that in front of him, but it's always things that you keep in your mind. You can look around the locker room, as I said earlier with Bianca Belair, walking in the door 2.5 years to doing what she did tonight. There's people out there going, how could she lose tonight? This is horrible for her. Like, it's step one. The future couldn't be brighter for her. Same with him. There's a lot of people, but the future couldn't be brighter. It's just the world today is so impatient of everything. They want it right now. If you're not champion in your first match, how can they do? You know what I mean? It's a crazy, unrealistic expectation. But in some way, that's a good thing, and we'll take people along for the ride and get them there when we need to get them there.
All right, back to the phones.
And we'll go to Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for doing this. So somebody asked about the women's tag titles earlier. Has there been any discussion of that being a floating title, so to speak, where it could appear in NXT or on NXT UK or anything like that? Because by all indications, on the main roster, there'll be one set that two brands compete for. Is there any possibility of that being expanded to these brands?
Yeah, I think there's been discussions about all of that. As far as where it ends up, I'm not 100% sure where that'll net out. You know, I think the intent is to try to deliver the best thing they can for the women's division. And I think, you know, when I look at the both Raw and SmackDown, there's a lot of talent on there that you can, you know, once they have a goal in mind and the women start to get together and work on the same page in a tag style like that, I think you're going to see a lot of people excel. I think that gets very exciting. So I think you have to play that by ear of where it goes. You know, how quickly you get there, is that multi-branded, is that floating. I'm not really sure. I think that'll be played out as time goes on.
And to kind of follow up on that, do you have an update on how Tegan Knox is doing after her injury last year?
She's doing very well. You know, as you know, with injuries, you know, you get yourself repaired. As I was told early in my career with injuries, they repair you, they put you back together, they put the pieces back together, and then it's kind of on you, right, to rehab and do all the stuff. She's doing everything she can. She's an extremely hard worker, very passionate and very driven to do this. When she's ready, she'll be back. And I think, you know, it's unfortunately she's been in a couple of positions where she's right at the brink of this giant breakthrough and something happens. It's gonna happen for her. It's just a matter of time. She's doing well. She's working her butt off and she'll be back soon.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
All right, one more on the phone.
We'll hear from Victoria Tedesco, Russellview.
Hi,
hey,
Paul.
Victoria.
A great show tonight, as always. When you first took over NXT, did you think it would become this phenomenon? And how much pressure do you put on yourself creatively to try to top each takeover? Because each show, I feel like it just takes it to the next level. It elevates. Just fantastic each time.
I think whenever you start something, you want it to be as good as it possibly can be. Could I have envisioned it going the way it's going and where we are right now? I couldn't have envisioned that, though. I think I thought the talent was there and the ability for them to be seen by the world hopefully would come about. As you move forward, how do you go into trying to top it? You hope that everything is done when you get there. You hope that the stories are there that back all this up, because that's really what it's about is that, right? It's the storytellings and the characters and everything else. And then kind of once that's done and we get here, I'm reliant on this unbelievably talented roster to take it to another level and deliver something incredible. You know, they do every time. They don't fail to deliver, whether that's their passion because they have something to prove. You know, they're young and hungry, and they have something to prove to the world that they're going to take it to another level and that they're going to show everybody what they're made of. I'm not sure what that is, but they don't really seem to disappoint ever. And that's them. You know, that's them. And whether that's NXT here like you saw tonight or whether that's in the UK just recently in Blackpool, you know, it's kind of setting it up and then giving them the ball and saying run. And I'm telling you, they all will run through a wall when you let them, you know, and they're doing it, and they take it to another level every time. So couldn't be more proud of them. They are not waiting for their place in the future. They are taking it.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to WrestleView. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to finish up in the room.
Eric Goldman from We Enjoy Wrestling Podcast. There was a great entrance tonight for War Raiders.
Yeah.
As someone who's had a fair share of big entrances yourself, how do you decide when it's the right time for a certain, you know, wrestler or wrestlers to get that sort of spotlight entrance like they had tonight?
We got a call from a bunch of Vikings. Said, hey, you guys have any need of some Vikings? We're in town. And, like, you know, We're ready to war, and I was like, yeah, come on by, bring your gear, you know, helmets and all. You try to set up talent to showcase them, to present them in a way that puts eyeballs on them, that makes them more successful, that makes them bigger stars than, you know, they are if you just had the lights on and they walk through the curtain, right? You try to set the template, set the table, and then let them come out, like I said before, and then it's on them, right? You can put all those bells and whistles. I can lasers and pyro and bands, and you can do anything else you want to do, and then if they come to the ring and they don't deliver, no one cares, you know? This is just, it's that little bit of polish. It's that little bit of extra shine that just makes it something different and special, and hopefully you can do that in a way that comes across as organic in these things and works for everybody and doesn't come across as forced or, you know, it's organic to them. I can tell you right now, if you've ever met either one of them, that is them. I actually, they're all friends of theirs, and they're actually like really Viking dudes that wear that stuff on a regular basis on the weekends. And yeah, so legitimately, we had access to Vikings and thought it's a good time to use the Vikings. Yeah, let's go with the Vikings. So we went with it. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
If you have access to Vikings, you use the Vikings. You know. Yeah.
All right, last one.
Hey, Paul Shindale, NBC Senior. Just based on the level of fan excitement involved so far in TakeOver and Access, just how would you say that is? Just how much does WWE consider that when they're considering like where to put some of those big events in the future?
I think all of that comes into play. You know, Access, I thought, was, you know, I wasn't there today, obviously, because I was over here, but, you know, I was there last night and seemed very successful, and I heard, you know, great things about this afternoon. I think it's a great opportunity to expose talent, new talent, different talent to everybody. I think when you come into markets like this and fans show their excitement for it, then that's where you want to go. To me, nothing is better than knowing you're going to a market where you've been and you know that they're going to go crazy, right? That's if you're loud and you're going crazy and you're just bringing it all the time, that's where we want to be. Well, that's at least where I want to bring it and make it as big as possible. You know, that's what you're doing it for in the end of the day. So all of this is for fans and to give them that experience to, you know, give them a show worthy of that passion that they put out. Because, you know, people say this, been to sporting events and, you know, there are some teams that have rabid sports fans, but it's almost like the experience of the thing. It's not really the team so much or any, right? Fans of this, fans, WWE fans, fans of what we do, they're the most incredible, passionate fans for this. They have this passion for it. I think it's why when you do something positively or negatively, they light up so passionately. Everybody has such a strong opinion on it because it's something that they care about deeply. You know, like it's a part of who they are, the characters, the performances, the people behind the scenes that are, you know, not just the on-screen characters, but the people that are pouring their heart and soul into making this happen. The, you know, and they get caught up in it, the love and the hate of it. And, you know, even when there's moments in time and somebody that they hate or despise for whatever reason in the industry, and then that person gets hurt, and it's, oh, man, everybody rallies around behind that in a different manner. You know, they're the greatest fans in the world. You see it with stuff, kids, you know, charities, Connor's Cure or whatever it is, where, you know, the most hardcore fan that is like the just angry about everything is just, and I'm not crying when the video plays and is part of that community, you know, and everybody comes together. I'd say it's the one sporting event in the world, like WrestleMania, to me, one of those things where it's one of the only things I can think of where fans come from all around the world. It's like, it's almost like a family reunion. To if you had a family of 70,000 people and half of them you didn't ever met before, right? But then you go to this family reunion and they all show up and then you're there. It's the only thing that I can think of, like sporting event, where you could be sitting next to somebody from a country who would you have no, you would never speak to or meet in your entire life. And then they, maybe they're a little bit newer than you are to it. And they go like, what's this guy's thing? And you go, oh, all right. So the story on this one is, right. And they're all talking and it's like this, it's just this community. There's something cool about it, man. It's a family. As passionate of a family as they can be. And they, some of your brothers you don't like and some of them you love, and they're great. Like it's all that, but, and it's awesome. It's just the coolest thing. So for us, it's trying to deliver that passion back and have people engage in it in the biggest way possible. That's what it's all about. Whether we succeed or fail all the time, right? That's what it's all about. And I can tell you that this company has been doing this for a long period of time. It's had ups and downs, but it always and always figures that out and always gets there. You know, that's the. It's not like I'm trying to say it, but like that's the thing about Vince that nobody thinks about or takes credit for, right? That ability to go back to path and to go where you need to go. He's the magic behind it. That's what it is. We will deliver always for our fans. Maybe not in the exact moment, but we will always deliver.
And with that, everyone will see the magic tomorrow at Royal Rumble. Cheap plug. Thank you, everybody. Everyone on the phones, thank you. Enjoy Royal Rumble tomorrow night. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
And that does conclude today's conference call. We thank you all for joining us.